This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm David Greene.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. It is an extraordinary scene in the Boston metropolitan area this morning. Police are on a manhunt for one of the suspects in the Boston Marathon bombing. One of them, we're told, was killed in a shootout with police overnight that also involved explosives. A second suspect is still at large. Both the suspects described as young men from Chechnya. And the governor of Massachusetts, Deval Patrick, has said the entire city of Boston, along with a good number of the suburbs, are on lockdown. We also heard this morning from Ed Davis, the Boston Police Commissioner.
The shelter-in-place recommendation has been extended throughout the city of Boston. There's a lot of information coming in. We're working very closely with federal authorities in Washington. We are examining all databases, all potential leads, and there are officers that are moving around the city right now. Please be patient with us. Work with us. If you see anything suspicious, let us know. We are trying to make this safe as quickly as possible, but this is an ongoing situation. I want to stress that. This is an ongoing situation.
And we're going to talk about that ongoing situation. There is certainly no shortage of manpower. Our correspondent Jeff Brady told us earlier that buses that normally would be carrying Boston commuters have been diverted. The transit system is shut down, and the buses have been used to bring extra law enforcement authorities into Watertown, Massachusetts, which is where police last saw the one suspect who is still alive, Jokhar Tsarnaev of Chechnya, a 19-year-old. NPR's Carrie Johnson is our justice correspondent. She covers the Justice Department. And Carrie, what are you hearing from federal officials?
I'm hearing from some law enforcement sources that they are not entirely sure that Jokhar Tsarnaev is holed up in that residence in Watertown, but they're acting as if he is. And there is some concern that based on some of the behavior they may have observed from him, that they may not be able to take him alive. And that's important, Steve, because he has a lot of knowledge in his head. His brother, his alleged co-conspirator, has died. And authorities really want to know the answers to some critical questions, like what motivated them to take this action? What kind of help do they have from within the U.S. or overseas? And what kind of planning they did in advance, how they got the materials allegedly to prepare those bombs? So many, many unanswered questions. At the same time, Steve, just as you mentioned, the law enforcement presence in Boston and all over the country, working at least on an analytical level to get to the bottom of some of these questions, is amazing and very intense.
And Carrie Johnson, you said that residence in Watertown, that is something we've seen images of. Police have gone to one residence after another, and at the moment they are focused on one particular area in Watertown, Massachusetts. That's what you're referring to here, correct?
That's exactly right. And one of the other things that authorities and people like us are doing, Steve, is looking for any traces on social media of these two brothers for indications of what kinds of clues they may have left in retrospect as to their activities and what was going through their minds at the time. So there's a lot of investigative work going on right now.
Carrie, thanks for working your sources. We want to bring another voice into the conversation here. Kurt Nickisch is a reporter with our member station in Boston, WBUR. And Kurt, Carrie Johnson is telling us, she's hearing from her sources, that there might be this suspect, Jokhar Tsarnaev, the 19-year-old suspect we believe is still alive, perhaps holed up in a building in Watertown, Massachusetts. You've been listening in on the police scanners and the police chatter. Does this seem to make sense based on what you've been hearing?
Yes, it sure does. I am in Watertown, probably just a quarter to a half mile away from where that house is. Although it's not totally clear, they basically saw somebody going into that house, somebody wearing a hooded sweatshirt, which might match who they're looking for.
Now, let's remember there was a hooded sweatshirt involved in one of the images from overnight, correct?
Exactly. Okay. And so there's a helicopter circling overhead, and occasionally vehicles drive by with agents hanging off the side. So this, of course, is where the suspect, very close to where the suspect was last seen. And so it stands to reason with the just immense, massive law enforcement presence that's been here in Watertown since the suspects had a shootout here with law enforcement last night, that the suspect may not have been able to get very far without being seen.
Now, Kurt, you said something very interesting there, that this house in Watertown, this is very close to where the shootout was last night, the exact same neighborhood and area.
Yes, it is east. It is east Watertown, and it is right. It's only about two streets over from somebody that I've been corresponding with over telephone, who's been in his house and had multiple search teams come through during the night to sweep his house and the yard. So it's really not very far at all from where the suspect was technically last seen.
Well, let's remember how it is that we got to that spot in Watertown, Massachusetts. NPR's Tom Gelton is with us here. And Tom, will you take us, especially for people who are just waking up here, it's a little after 6 o'clock, 6:15 on the west coast of the United States, take us through what happened last night and how we ended up with a suspect in Watertown, Massachusetts.
Well, Steve, one of the reasons that law enforcement officials are so concerned about this guy is that he proved over the last several hours to be a really tough and violent character, leaving aside the issue of his alleged complicity in the bombing at the Boston Marathon. Mm-hmm. These events began with him apparently robbing a 7-Eleven store in Cambridge, Massachusetts. His image was captured on a surveillance video. From there, he and his brother apparently went to MIT, the university, where they shot and killed an MIT police officer, stole his cruiser. Shortly after that, they carjacked a Mercedes SUV. The driver escaped and alerted the police. The police then pursued the Mercedes SUV. That's when the shootout ensued. And in the course of the shootout, we don't know which of the two brothers was responsible, but an MBTA, a transit police officer, was shot and critically wounded. He's in surgery. And then we understand from an eyewitness that Jokar, the suspect who is still alive, got in the SUV and charged straight into a line of police who were marching toward him, and that's how he was able to escape. So over and over again in the last several hours, we've seen this guy demonstrate his violent capabilities.
Amazing detail there, Tom Gelton. And just to be clear, it was in that shootout that his brother, Tamerlan Sarnaev, who was a little bit older, 26 years old, he was shot and taken to the hospital. He's dead now.
He died at the hospital, and one of the surgeons or one of the doctors that operated or that treated him said he had multiple gunshot wounds and also blast wounds. He was apparently either carrying explosives or had some explosives strapped to him. We don't know exactly how that happened.
And Steve, you make a very good point. I know a lot of our listeners are just waking up. And Tom, just to remind people, these two brothers who we were talking about, we believe they're from Chechnya, the Russian Republic. These are the two faces that we saw on the news yesterday before people were going to sleep in much of the country. These faces, they believe these are the two people that they picked up from video at the Boston Marathon. This is how and why they think that they were involved.
Suspect one in the black hat, suspect two in the white hat. They became famous overnight when the FBI revealed the photos of them. However, those people were picked out because of their presence at the bombing site. But what we don't know, and this is critical, is whether they are the only two involved. Now that we know that they are from Chechnya, obviously it raises questions of whether there might be some international connection here, why there might be others involved in what could be a plot.
And there was a third person. We don't know this person's connection to this, but there was a third person police grabbed overnight
at that scene of the shootout. And we don't know what aroused the police suspicions about him, but they were so concerned that he had explosives himself that they forced him to strip naked. They actually put him in a police cruiser naked because they were concerned that he was carrying explosives. He's in custody. We don't know much about him.
And just remember what's happening right now. Police have surrounded a building in Watertown, Massachusetts. We do not know for certain if the surviving suspect is inside, but we will continue to bring you more information as we learn it in this rapidly developing story, which we're following throughout the morning, right here on Morning Edition from NPR News.